makes a mind with Lipman Crooks.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Lipman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Lipman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Lipman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Peace of mind.
Lipman Crooks in White Plains, Manhattan, or at LipmanCrooks.com.
Welcome, everybody, to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Lipman Crooks. We've got offices right here in White Plains, in Fishkill, New York, and in New York City. And this week, our guest is Carol Hodesty from Family Ties in Westchester. Carol, how are you?
Good. I'm glad to be here.
It is fabulous to have you here, and I bet people want to know, what is Family Ties?
Well, let me tell you, Family Ties is a family support organization for the families of youngsters who have social, emotional, behavioral, and psychiatric difficulties.
And when did you guys start doing this?
Oh, we've been at this since the mid-1980s. This was an organization started by a psychiatric nurse who had a youngster of her own with serious emotional difficulties. And she felt that despite all the wonderful help her youngster was getting, that parents needed to be able to meet with each other, talk with each other, and have the support that they needed to make their children successful.
Now, you're the executive director, right?
Yes, I am.
So tell me what you do.
Well, it's my job to make sure that the agency is working properly and that we have all the resources we need to do the job we need to do and that I have the staff in place to do it. We have a wonderful staff. And if you'd like, I'd tell you a little bit about our staff.
I'd love to hear it.
Our staff is made up of a combination of people who have a professional interest in children, and all of our staff themselves have youngsters with social, emotional, or behavioral difficulties. Some of those youngsters are now grown up, and the staff draws on their experience, but many of them have youngsters who are actively involved in services.
And this is a paid staff?
Yes, it is a paid staff.
So are there volunteers also?
There are some volunteers. We have 40 staff members. About half are full-time and half are part-time.
And all the staff members, if I heard you correctly, have a family member who's affected by this disability?
Yes, that's correct.
And how do you attract these people? I mean, is it through advertising? Is it through word of mouth?
How do you? We usually put in our advertising for staff members that we want to have somebody with personal experience with the issues at hand.
And you feel that helps them better understand?
Yeah, to have a personal understanding of the issues and to have the experience of having to help their child navigate through a very complicated system of services.
So basically, the affected people who you service are people who have mental disabilities?
Youngsters with, we call them social, emotional, and behavioral difficulties.
So give us an example of like a typical person who would come to you.
Well, it really runs the gamut. Some have very high-end psychiatric needs. There are youngsters who've been hospitalized, youngsters who've been in residential treatment, youngsters who may have had a run-in with the juvenile justice system because of their emotional and behavioral difficulties. Or it may be at a much more less difficult, should I say, end of the spectrum, and youngsters who have attention deficit disorder, who are having difficulties in school, who are having social difficulties, difficulties fitting in. We have those parents come to us, too.
And is it just children, or do you also service adults?
No, we don't serve adults except as parents of the youngsters. We do become involved with youngsters, though, past their 18th birthday. We don't have an 18th birthday cutoff.
Do you help with transitioning, or what do you do?
We work jointly with Family Service of Westchester, who runs a group called Youth Forum, and we help youngsters transition to the adult system with them.
Are most of the children who you help, are they in mainstream schooling, or are these children with IEPs?
Depends. Some are in mainstream. Some have IEPs. Some might be in residential placement. Some might be in psychiatric hospital.
And do they all go to the same place to receive services?
People are receiving services, clinical services, in many different areas. Youngsters go to many different schools, receive clinical services from many different agencies. We have resource centers in six different communities, now seven actually. We have a new resource center in White Plains. But we run groups there for parents. We do some parent skills training. We do workshops for parents. Parents can use computers and our resources at the resource center, get advice from professionals at our resource center. We also participate in something called Network, which is a community planning process that helps parents to put together one plan for their youngsters across systems, so that even if their youngster is involved in the juvenile justice system and is getting psychiatric counseling and is in special education in school, we work to kind of put all of that together so it's not confusing for the parent and so that the parent and the youngster can get the most that's available from the system.
Do all the families live in Westchester?
All the families live in Westchester.
So is that a requirement?
It's not a requirement. We've served some families from Putnam County. We've served some families from the Bronx. If you come to our door and knock on it, we will certainly let you in.
Is that because the neighboring communities don't have a family ties?
They don't have a family ties. They may have some similar kinds of parent support organizations, but here in Westchester, we really believe that family support needs to be freestanding. A lot of programs give family support. They'll say, well, we give you family support in our clinic, in our school, in our residential center, in wherever they happen to be located. But then the child and family lose that family support when the child changes programs or changes schools. This gives you a freestanding family support that you can keep coming back to again and again and again, no matter where your youngster is.
Without mentioning names, give me an example of like somebody you've helped or you're currently helping. What you're actually doing for them and how it's benefiting them in their lives.
Sure. We've got a number of families who have come to us with youngsters who have bipolar disorder. This is difficult for the family to cope with, difficult for the youngster to cope with. There are problems in school. There are problems
at home. How does it manifest itself?
It might manifest itself in a number of different ways. And the difficulties might begin at home, might begin at school, but the parent soon knows that there are a number of different issues that they have to contend with. Some have to do with school. They need help navigating the special ed situation in school. Some have to do with the community. Some youngsters get into trouble in the community, particularly those who are teenagers. Some youngsters have difficulty with social experiences and need respite and recreational activities. Some parents also just are having so much difficulty coping with chaos in the home, and they need some help with behavioral training for themselves. How do you raise this child that is so different than your other children? How do you make it okay for the siblings who can begin to suffer when all the attention in the family goes to one child with a difficulty? How do you cope with relatives and friends who are just not being able to be there for you sometimes? You just kind of run through your resources. And I think there's also the issue of stigma. Parents feel that their youngster is so different from other youngsters. They feel like they're the only family in the world coping with these issues. And it is a relief often to come in and be able to talk to other parents who are experiencing the same thing you are, to share information with them, and to have the help of dedicated staff and social workers who can give you some ideas as well as help you to network and help you navigate the system.
Do you feel that there's a general lack of understanding in the community about what a mental illness is and how it affects families?
Yes, and I think families feel very much like they need to hide this. They're often in denial themselves about the youngster's difficulties. It's hard to get help, hard to sometimes admit that things are falling apart, hard to recognize what the issues are. And I think there is a lot of stigma out there, and parents feel that stigma. Very much like other difficulties as well, like the developmental disabilities, issues that often cause stigma as well.
And I guess if you're just not in it, at some level it's just, you know, unfair to expect that everybody would get it.
Right. But parents are afraid of being called bad parents. Is this all my fault? Did I make this happen? How did this occur?
And you mentioned earlier the middle school. I would imagine that there are some criminal law issues regarding some of the middle school kids in terms of doing things that mainstream kids would be expected to not do. Does that come up as well?
Kids get into difficulties. Their judgment is often impaired. They, you know, often have a need to do attention-seeking kinds of things, depending on what the emotional or behavioral issue is. And, yes, they frequently get into difficulty with the law, and that's very difficult for parents to cope with.
But you provide a support system for the parents?
We would go to court with them if they needed to go to court. We would
not in a legal capacity.
Not in a legal capacity, as a support for them. And we would provide parent skills training for them. We would provide support group meetings for them. We do support groups for parents in general, for moms, for dads, for grandparents, for siblings. We have parent skills trainings that some are evidence-based models that we use. We use a number of different models depending on what age the youngster is, what kind of difficulty is being encountered. And we also do some very pointed workshops that parents will ask us to do with them.
You also provide support, I think I heard you say, to the siblings as well on
Absolutely.
How they should cope
we
with it.
Absolutely. We have sibling groups because it is hard to be a sibling.
It's like maybe their
kid.
Friends don't want to come over and have play dates.
Exactly. Or maybe they're feeling angry that so much is expected of them and yet so much of the attention goes to the kid with the difficulty.
There are support groups for the siblings as well?
Yes. Yeah. We do have support groups for older siblings and for younger siblings as well.
Do you find that the divorce rate is higher for parents who have kids who have mental illnesses?
Yeah, but parents also tell us that once they've learned to cope with these issues together, that the marriage can be stronger than ever. So I think that's a pretty widespread phenomenon. Parents really partner with each other when they get a chance to have all the tools they need.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. Our guest this week is Carol Hardesty from Family Ties of Westchester. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Littman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Littman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Peace of mind.
Littman Crooks in White Plains, Manhattan, or at littmancrooks.com.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Littman Crooks. Our guest this week is Carol Hardesty of Family Ties in Westchester. She's the executive director. And before the break, we were talking about some of the services, support services that are being offered. And Carol, these services have got to cost money. Do you apply for grants? Is it federal grants, state grants? Is it all donor funded? Where does the money come from to support you?
It comes from a variety of sources. We did have a federal grant at one point, but that has now run out. We receive funding from the New York State Office of Mental Health. We receive funding from the New York State Office of Children and Family Services. We receive some private foundation money. We receive money from the Westchester County Department of Senior Services because we have many grandparents who are also caring for their youngsters who have emotional and behavioral difficulties. We also do fundraising, of course.
What type of fundraising do you do?
Well, we had a recent fundraising dinner just the other night, which was successful.
And, where was it?
It was at Lake Isle, and it is called Champions of Children. We have it every year, and we honored some very deserving people this year and had a wonderful dinner.
Next year we'll have to have you on the week before the dinner.
That's right.
Instead of after. What, any other fundraising events we should know about?
We usually do one other fundraising event during the year. Each of our resource centers also, and we have six of them, our resource centers are in Yonkers, Mount Vernon, Ossining, White Plains, Peekskill, Mount Kisco, and New Rochelle. And each of those resource centers will raise some local funds to help with respite and recreational activities for their families.
So there's no financial commitment required of any of the families?
Absolutely not.
For any, none of the
service? No service has any cost attached to it.
So there's no means tested? It's not like you have to fill out an application?
No, and we do provide child care also when parents come to our group meetings. We are able to have caretakers for the children.
Is there any concern that in the current budget climate that some of the funding sources will be compromised going forward?
Yes.
What can we do about that?
I don't know what we can do about that.
I thought you're supposed to solve all the problems.
Well, we have done a letter writing campaign with parents telling us why they value family ties and what they value in the program, and we have sent it off to sent many, many letters off to the governor, to legislators, to people at OMH, Office of Mental Health, and the Office of Children and Family Services. But I know we are competing with many other voices who have similar things to say.
Do you give money to cancer? Do you give it to heart disease? Do you give it to Parkinson's? Exactly. All great causes.
Exactly. It's very hard to say no to children's causes, but I think in the general climate of things, we cannot expect to certainly have any raises and in funding. And we have our fingers crossed that we will hold on to some of the funding we have.
Are you involved with OMRDD at all?
We are involved with OMRDD because many of our, we don't get funding from them,
okay,
but many of our families have youngsters who have both developmental disabilities and mental health issues. So that brings us in
under their umbrella a little bit.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you mentioned to me during the break that you actually have some bilingual people.
We do. Actually, one quarter of our staff is bilingual bicultural. And we are able in a number of communities, Yonkers, Peekskill, New Rochelle, and Ossining, to provide bilingual services to families.
That's a big plus.
Yeah, we are in the process of bringing those services to White Plains as well.
Now, do you ever have to say no because you're busting at the seams and you don't have enough people to provide the requisite support?
We haven't said no to anybody yet.
So you just work 24/7,
7 days a week?
I will be going back to the office after this program. And we are not open 24 hours a day. We're not an emergency service, but we are open during business hours. Some of our resource centers are also open Saturdays. So we try to be as available as possible. But, you know, we do have a staff of 40, and there are limits to what we can do.
And once a family becomes involved in your program, do they just stay involved, or is there a timetable for which they are phased out?
No, they stay as long as they feel the need for family support services. And we think that that's a good thing. We think families need support, and then things are all right, and then they come back and need some support again. And our belief is that families should be able to come back and access the people and places that have helped them to get through a tough time.
So it's never a point where you'd have to say to a family, well, your child isn't sick enough or doesn't meet our criteria and we can help you.
No, there really is no litmus test for our services. Well, you don't have to have a certain diagnosis or, you know, a certain constellation of behaviors. If the family really is struggling with that youngster and they see a need for services, they can come on in and access our services.
And I guess they can decide for themselves whether or not they think it's appropriate.
Right, whether it's a good match for them. And they can they can participate in our services in a number of ways. They can attend formal groups. They can call and talk to some of our staff. They can attend some of our trainings or our workshops. You don't have to have a particular set of services. And we are looking into, at this point, doing some online services, an online group. We would like to make that the next thing we do.
That'd be great. How do most people hear about you?
People hear about us from schools, from clinical agencies, from all kinds of people in the community, and parents tell each other about us.
So parents who are involved tell others?
Other people, yeah.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. Our guest this week is Carol Hardesty of Family Ties. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Sooner or later, disability or illness strikes every family. And unfortunately, that's not the time to do the planning. The best time is in advance, before a crisis strikes.
Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Susan, Vincent and Sheila's oldest daughter, had called us because one of her friend's parents recently had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and their financial affairs were a mess. They had not done any advance planning.
Susan didn't want that to happen to her parents. The caring professionals at Littman Crooks helped her design a comprehensive plan that provided for long-term care while protecting her parents' hard-earned assets.
Susan and her siblings now have the peace of mind of knowing that their parents can go on with the rest of their lives without having to worry about what would happen if one of them became sick or disabled.
Your parents had big plans for you. Make sure you have one for them. Call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Littman Crooks. To learn more about us, you can always go online at littmancrooks.com. And our guest this week is Carol Hardesty from Family Ties of Westchester. And Carol, you run quite an organization, but you're not the only one, right? There's a board of directors?
There's a board of directors.
And how do they get elected?
Board of directors... They are sometimes referred to us by other people. We have board members who bring on other board members. Our board is a little unique, though, because it is always 51% parents. The board president is always a parent. And we want our agency to reflect the authentic voices of families and children. We are at this point also looking to add a youth member to the board. And we would like to have a youth who has been in services for youngsters with emotional and behavioral difficulties.
A youth meaning somebody under the age of 18?
Yeah.
Very interesting. So that means over half the people on the board have personal experience.
Absolutely.
And the others would be just volunteers?
The others are most often people who work in the system, people who are psychiatrists, who are psychologists, who are social workers, people who have an interest in children's issues.
How often does the board meet?
The board meets once a month.
And you mentioned these other disciplines. Do you ever have to make referrals out to others?
Oh, sure.
What kinds of things?
Well, parents might be looking for somebody to work with their youngster clinically. Very often there are youngsters who need case management, and we can help the family to access case management services, recreational and respite services, all of the things that a youngster needs to be successful. Because, you know, a youngster needs a school, yes, and a youngster sometimes needs clinical services, but that's not always the whole answer for the child and the family. The youngster needs to feel successful socially, and the youngster needs to be able to feel that their voice is heard, and we try to make that happen.
So these are services that Family Ties wouldn't necessarily provide, but there'd be other agencies.
Absolutely. We work very closely with the mental health system and the child welfare system and the juvenile justice system.
Now, the parents ever ask you about medical things like, you know, the type of medication the kid is taking? Is there something that might be better? Do you get those questions as well?
We do get those questions, and we very often get questions from parents who would prefer not to have any psychotropic medication at all. And what we can do is help the relationship between the parent and the therapist or the psychiatrist, help them to understand what is being offered, what is needed, and then the other way, help the parent's view to become clear to the prescriber of the medication.
So you'll actually speak to the physician?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe try to assist in modifying the...
And wherever we can help work things out, we try to do that.
What about, you know, in helping a parent understand the complexities of the illness and the duration? I would imagine that, you know, this is new for the parent. It's not like the parents are born experts on having
right.
a kid with a mental. There's no book to turn to.
That's right.
So, I mean, do you?
And they've often successfully raised or are raising other children. So
right.
why is this one different? And what do you do? And how do you get the help you need? And how do you make decisions about? I mean, it's scary for a parent to think that they've got a child's life in their hands, and this is a critical moment in that child's life. How do I make the right decision? How do I make the right calls? And it is very helpful, I think, for parents to have a family support organization that lets them talk with other parents who are going through similar issues and gives them access to professionals who can help them with their decision making.
So what do you think the biggest challenge is when you meet a new parent and they tell you about their child? What's the biggest challenge for them going forward?
The biggest challenge for them is often to calm down and really just take a deep breath and know that they can get through this. And I think when parents come to us, it's usually in a moment of crisis. Their youngster has either just gotten a diagnosis, or their youngster has been hospitalized, or their youngster has been incarcerated, and the whole family is just spinning on this, and it is just a moment of chaos. And I think what Family Ties can help parents do is to help organize that chaos when it is happening.
Is there any typical age where parents will call you, or just all over the map?
It is all over the map. We have early childhood groups. You would be surprised at the number of youngsters who are ejected from a daycare or nursery school setting. We also deal with, of course, school-age youngsters and with youngsters who are aging out of both school and the usual children's services system.
In your experience, does a child ever get cured?
Sure. No, especially for kids, nothing's permanent. That's the...
So there's always hope.
Oh, absolutely. And even for youngsters who have some issues that go beyond age 18, there's a lot out there. There's medication, there's treatment, there's other youngsters in the same situations. And, of course, our hope is that every youngster will be successful.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to take one more short break, and we'll be right back to finish up with Carol Hardesty of Family Ties.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Littman Crooks, and our guest this week has been Carol Hardesty of Family Ties. And Carol, just got about a minute left. Give us some closing thoughts. Give me your final words that you want the families to hear if they're confronted with this type of situation.
I think we would want every family to know that there are answers out there for their youngsters, that if they work together with us, with other parents, and